come, oh come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here, until the Son of God appears. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, thou dayspring, come and cheer our spirits by thine advent here. Disperse the gloomy clouds of night and death's dark shadows put to flight. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel.
So tonight we're gonna sing some songs in a minute, but before we do, I want to kind of propose a question, ask a question. I've been asking this question actually now for a little while on Sunday mornings, and the question is, why did Jesus come? I mean, this is what we're here for, right? This is Advent. It's Christmas Eve. It's this whole moment where we celebrate His coming. So the question is, why did Jesus come? And we can say the words. We can say He came to save us. The message I gave last Sunday, or two Sundays back now, He came out of obedience. He came out of love for the Father. He came because the Father loves us. But here we are tonight celebrating His arrival, His coming. So maybe we could ask the question more about, since it's tonight, it's Christmas, what is Christmas all about? And I think there's only one man who can really answer this question best, and I'll leave it to him to give us that answer, and then we'll sing some songs.
I guess I really don't know what Christmas is all about. Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
Sure, Charlie Brown, I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Lights, please. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
Would you please stand and join us in song?
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive.
So I've got a question. Do you know what prolepsis is? It's one of my favorite words that I rarely use. It's one of those words you can't exactly fit in an everyday conversation, but still like the word prolepsis. This is what it means. This is the actual definition. The representation or assumption of a future act or development as if presenting presently existing or accomplished. Okay, so now your brain's like, huh? Let me say it again. The representation or assumption of a future act or development as if it is presently existing or accomplished. Probably the best thing, yeah, it makes all sense now, right? So probably the best example of this that I've ever heard is an acorn. When you look at an acorn, what does an acorn become? A tree. What kind of tree? It's an oak tree. Now, an oak tree, that's a big thing, right? But an acorn, not so big. But yet everything to make that tree exist, all is contained in that acorn. You don't add anything to the acorn itself to make the tree. Now, there's the environment and everything that goes with it, but everything to be an oak tree is found in that acorn. That acorn is a prolepsis. It is an oak tree, it just doesn't look like one yet, but it is an oak tree. It can't become anything other than an oak tree, and an oak tree cannot come from anything other than an acorn. Understand that when we celebrate Christmas, we're not just celebrating a single event of his birth, but we're celebrating everything that goes with it. And that actually includes before it and after it. The phrase to use here would be, it is an already and a not yet. John says it this way. He witnesses the Lord in what we call Revelation. And there's a moment where the churches of Asia are being addressed. And the words are, grace to you and peace from him. Now, first off, just hold on to that peace. We're going to come back to that one. But right now, grace to you and peace from him who is, who was, and who is to come. And then just a few verses later, the Lord addresses everyone as, I am the Alpha and the Omega, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. John understood this, and he understood it also in his gospel, letting us in on it with a non-traditional beginning, because his beginning isn't the beginning of Jesus at the birth, but even before that. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Who was and is to come. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him not anything was made. That includes you and me. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Interestingly enough, he was before men, and yet he himself was the light of the thing to come, which would be us in that scenario. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. That light didn't start at the birth, mind you, because we have those words in the beginning somewhere else, don't we? In fact, that light has not overcome it since day one, literally. And what do we call that, this advent, this coming of Christ in the flesh? Well, we will say Emmanuel. We will say God with us. This God with us is the one who was and who is and is to come. The plan was from the beginning was to come. It wasn't, it's Christmas. You're going to open up presents. Some of the presents you're going to open up, and there's going to be a certain expectation of what's in that gift. Some things will be a surprise. Some will be a very odd surprise. One piece pink Easter bunny pajamas, right? Jesus coming wasn't a surprise, though. And that's kind of the funny thing, is because people treat it like a surprise, but it wasn't a surprise. It was never supposed to be a surprise. We were let in on it. The prophets told us that he was coming. You can read it. And it's all there, what was going to happen and how it was going to happen and everything that's going to take place. There was no surprise. There was a few surprises. We'll get to that in a minute, but I stop and I think about, we already had this story. We already know. We should have been ready for it. It shouldn't have been this great, amazing surprise, just simply amazing. Jesus talks about it in his parable with Lazarus and the rich man. And they both die and they go to their respective places, shall we say. And well, there's an earnest begging. Please send Lazarus back to let them know so my family doesn't come to this place. And the response is, what good would that do? They already know. They already have the stories. They have the prophets. They already know what's necessary. Jesus wasn't a surprise gift. It wasn't a last-minute purchase just to tidy things up. It was a plan. In fact, I have another video I want us to play. Now, this is a song, and feel free to sing along if you want, but you don't have to. The words won't be on the screen. It's not karaoke night. But it's a song you probably know, and maybe you've even seen the video, but I would just ask just to sit back, listen, but watch. So please, important, watch.
Born to set thy people free from our fears and sins, release us, let us find our rest in thee.
Expected Jesus. So we could ask now, okay, so he why did he come? What is it that he came to? What is it he came this place, this messy, dirty place to leave the throne to a manger? Why did he come in the first place? And we could turn to Isaiah, and Isaiah would tell us, for us, a child is born. To us, a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and of peace, his peace, there will be no end. I told you to hold on to that peace. See, peace, he comes and he brings peace with him, which would say that perhaps that peace didn't exist in our own life before him. He had to bring it. We need peace. In fact, maybe when do we need peace? Maybe that's what I should ask. When do we? I'd say all the time. But it's needed mostly when there isn't any. Where there's uncertainty, unrest, there's no peace. And yet God has come into this world to bring peace, right? His peace, a peace that has an understanding, a peace that has a reason. In fact, just for a moment, just take a look at the reaction of people. I mean, what happens when God comes? Well, this angel comes to let her in on the secret, right? If this is happening and it's going to be through you. But the words that the angel has to give her at that moment is, do not be afraid. See, the opposite of that whole idea, do not be afraid, would mean peace. You found favor with God. I'm pretty confident at this point in time that an angel shows up, you're probably thinking this is the end. No, this is the beginning. Okay, Joseph. Joseph has said something similar, but understand the context. It says that the angel said to Joseph, Joseph, son of David, so important to understand who, where Joseph comes from. Joseph, son of David, do not fear. He's not saying don't fear me. He's saying don't fear the circumstance. Do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Joseph, don't be afraid of this situation. Don't be afraid of all this. It's going to get messy. It's going to be very complicated. It's going to be hard to explain at the next family reunion, but bear with me. Don't fear this. Have peace in this. Then there's the shepherds. And the shepherds are out just doing what the shepherds do. I mean, it's dark, it's night, they're probably trying to sleep. And then all of a sudden, all of that is interrupted and the angels have to say to them, fear not. This isn't a bad thing. I bring good news of great joy for a few people. For all the people. For unto you this day in the city of David. Oh, how, what a coincidence, the city of David, just where Joseph's son of David, how did that work? As if there was a plan. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this peace, let me ask this, is this peace that was brought, was it only for just one silent night? We sing that song, and I love the song, I really do, but I question its validity. Jesus was a baby. I'm not sure it was silent. In fact, I know it wasn't silent just because of the angels alone, but that's not the point. The point is, was the peace just for that night? That one night, the world had peace, but then it went away. No. No, see, the peace that was entered into the world at that moment, Emmanuel, God with us, that peace was to have no end, is what the scripture tells us. Day was upon them, the day's bread had to be made, the morning's chores had to be done. There was too much to do to imagine the impossible had occurred. God had entered the world as a baby. Yet, were someone to chance upon the sheep stable on the outskirts of Bethlehem that morning, what a peculiar scene they would behold. I mean, the stable stinks like all stables do. The stench of urine, dung, and sheep reek pungently in the air. The ground is hard, the hay is scarce, cobwebs cling to the ceiling, a mouse scurries across the dirt floor. A more lowly place of birth could not exist. And yet off to one side sits a group of shepherds. They sit silently on the floor, perhaps perplexed, perhaps in awe, no doubt in amazement. Their night watch had been interrupted by an explosion of light from heaven and a symphony of angels. God goes to those who have time to hear him. So on this cloudless night, he went to simple shepherds. Now near the young mother sits the weary father. If anyone is dozing, he is. He can't remember the last time he sat down. And well, now that the excitement had subsided a bit, now that Mary and the baby are comfortable, he leans against the wall of the stable and feels his eyes grow heavy. He still hasn't figured it all out. The mystery of the event puzzles him, but he hasn't the energy to wrestle with the questions. What's important is that the baby is fine, Mary is safe, and as sleep comes, he remembers the name the angel told him to use. Jesus. We will call him Jesus. Now, wide awake is Mary. My, how young she looks. Her head rests on the soft leather of Joseph's saddle. The pain has been eclipsed by wonder. She looks into the face of the baby, her son, her Lord, his majesty. And at this point in history, the human being who best understands who God is and what he is doing is a teenage girl in a smelly stable. She can't take her eyes off of him. Somehow Mary knows she's holding God. So this is he. And she remembers the words of the angel. His kingdom will never end. Now he looks anything but a king. His face is prunish and red. His cry, though strong and healthy, is still the helpless and piercing cry of a baby. And he is absolutely dependent upon Mary for his well-being. Majesty in the midst of the mundane. Holiness in the filth of sheep manure and sweat. Divinity entering the world on the floor of a stable through the womb of a teenager in the presence of a carpenter. She touches the face of the infant God. How long was your journey? Now, this baby had overlooked the universe. These rags keeping him warm were the robes of eternity. His golden throne room had been abandoned in favor of a dirty sheep pen, and worshiping angels had been replaced by kind but bewildered shepherds. Meanwhile, the city hums. The merchants are unaware that God has visited their planet. The innkeeper would never believe that he just sent God into the cold. And the people would scoff at anyone who told them that the Messiah lay in the arms of a teenager on the outskirts of their village. Now, they're all too busy to consider the possibility. I mean, those who missed his majesty's arrival that night missed it not because of evil acts or malice. No, they missed it because they simply weren't looking. Little has changed in the last 2,000 years. We're going to come to the communion table, and it's at the same time. If you have your candle or if you need a candle, come and just light it. You can use one of the Advent candles there, or I think some of the girls are running around with some of the light things, to the lighters. But come take a candle, and I invite you to the communion table. The communion table is that final meal that Jesus gave his disciples, and this is the arrangement. This is the promise. This is the what he came to accomplish. And he took the bread on that night, and he said, "This is my body, and it's given for you." We talk about that. To us a child is born, a son is given. Here he is. He's saying, I have been given. I'm giving myself to you. That's why I came. And then he takes the cup in the same way, and he says, this is the new covenant. This is my promise to you. The promise that this peace that I have brought is staying. This peace will abound. It will be peace upon peace and grace upon grace and mercy upon mercy. And it's for you. Whom he has found pleasure. He is pleased to bring you this. And so you come tonight, come to the table. If you know him, this is for you. And you come to the table and you light your candle, and we're going to sing a couple more songs and we'll conclude. I'm going to pray. Father, I do thank you so much. Thank you so much for the gift of your Son. And Jesus, I thank you for the gift of you. And Spirit, I thank you that we don't walk this mess alone. And the peace that is offered is not a peace to overlook. It's not a peace that's fleeting. We do not pray, Lord, do not take this peace from us. But Lord, you lavish it upon us. So tonight, as we celebrate your arrival, let us have our eyes focused on what is to come, your return. We give you all the praise, all the glory. Amen.
How still we see thee lie above thy deep and dreamless sleep. The silent stars go by, yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. How silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, when meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us, abide in us, our Lord Emmanuel. Hallelujah. Christ.
Extend that Merry Christmas to you. I pray that that the evening and tomorrow is a day that's filled with Him. It's filled with peace, but it's not just tomorrow. It's the day after and the day after. I understand it's, oh, it's going to sound so cheesy. I'm going to say it. It's the gift that keeps on giving. It really is. So I hope you have a great time with family and friends and everyone else that you come encounter with. May they see the love of Jesus in your life. Merry Christmas.